yelling at God. Where are you? Why aren't you listening? Why aren't you paying attention? In case you forgot, we didn't ask to come here, you brought us here. Then I slam the brakes on for some unknown reason. The car slides all over the icy freeway. And I realize I need to get off the freeway for the sake of all the other drivers. I get off at the next exit. I pull into a convenience store parking lot and I've got $2 left. So I decide I'm going to buy a bottle of water. If I knew what I knew now, I'd have given it in an offering. So as I'm opening the door to go in, a young man's coming out. And he goes, "Hey, aren't you Al Fury?" And I go, "Yeah, why?" I mean, I'm not a happy camper. He said, "My pastor's looking for you." I go, "Why?" He said, "He's been announcing for 6 weeks. If anybody sees Al Fury, get him to call me." "Why?" He says, "Well, I do know this. One of our church members is going away or has gone away for a few months. And they've asked that you come and live in their home. That means you have a place to stay and someone's taking care of the house." Oh. "And then somebody's given Pastor some money for you guys to have over Christmas." I thought, oh, I better call him. And then I realized God was listening. God had been paying attention. God was answering. All he had to do is get me into the right place at the right time in order to receive. Come on, are you hearing me? In our reading, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Excuse me. The word "good" is not in the original. It simply says in the original, "The steps of a person are ordered by the Lord." So if you're saved tonight, if you're born again tonight, your steps, whether you know it or not, are automatically ordered by the Lord. We don't show up anywhere accidentally. Boy, it's quiet in here tonight. The word "ordered" in the Hebrew language means to adjust, to direct. The word "uphold" in verse 24 means after a person falls, whether it be from misfortune or error or both, Jehovah upholds you with his hand. The word "uphold" in the Hebrew language, and I love this, means full support so you can raise yourself again. One of the things I've discovered, and the older I get, the more I discover it, is this. God doesn't do everything. Hello? Come on. There's always a cooperation between the believer and God and the believer. Come on, are you with me? But some people think God does it all. He doesn't do it all. You've come here tonight to get a miracle. You had to come. You've heard what Pastor said at the beginning of the meeting. You need to start believing God. Come on, hallelujah. It all works together. Let's go to Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14. It's the story of Abraham and Isaac. You'll know it. And I'm just going to go through the verses and make a few comments to get to where I want to go. Verse 1, God asked Abraham to offer his son Isaac as an offering a sacrifice. And Abraham replies, "Here I am." Verse 2. "Take your only son whom you love to Mount Moriah. Offer him as a burnt offering." I'm telling you, that's tough to do. Number 3. "He took wood, he prepared it for a burnt offering." Verses 6 and 7. "Abraham took wood, knife, and Isaac asks a question. Where is the lamb?" Because they would sacrifice a lamb. So obviously, he doesn't know he's the sacrifice. Abraham's reply is interesting in the light of what God had asked him to do. Abraham replies, "God will provide the lamb for a burnt offering." A point to note here. Now we're getting into the arena of faith. Not only was Abraham on trial, but God's word to Abraham was on trial. Because in Genesis 15, God took Abraham outside and said, "Count the stars if you are able, so shall your seed be." And he talked about nations and generations would come out of him. He said, "Your descendants would be as the stars of the heavens." Now, if Isaac is killed, that can't happen. Are you with me? Wow. What's going on here? It's all right. Abraham was still trusting the word that God gave him in Genesis 15 in spite of what he was asking him to do. Verses 9 and 10. "Abraham built an altar, bound his son, laid him on the altar, stretched out his hand with a knife in it to slay his son." Verses 11 and 12. "Abraham hears the angel of the Lord calling him by name and tells him not to lay his hand on Isaac or to do any harm to him." Verse 13. "Abraham sees a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. He took the ram and offered it as a sacrifice to God instead of Isaac." Now watch verse 14. Here's the revelation. "Abraham calls the name of the place Jehovah Jireh." Did you get that? He did not call God Jehovah Jireh. He called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. You can go read it. It's there. The name of the place. And of course we know that Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. We know that one of the Hebrew names of God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. But nowhere in Scripture is he actually called that. In this instance, it is a place. Everybody shout, place. When you and I are in the right place at the right time, that place becomes Jehovah Jireh. Come on, hallelujah. This place tonight is Jehovah Jireh. Come on, hallelujah. This church is Jehovah Jireh. Whoo! Now you're coming alive. The word place in the Hebrew language is the Hebrew word makom, M-A-Q-O-M. It means the place of your standing. That could be your automobile, your home, your work, your school, your store, your church, wherever. Wherever you are, that place is Jehovah Jireh. Come on, hallelujah. A place, not a name. Places are important to God. Place names have meaning in Scripture. place names in the Old Testament, in the original Hebrew, in the New Testament, in the original Greek translated into English are so because something significant happened there. Abraham knew he was in the right place at the right time because God provided. Some years ago, my son David, who had his own IT company, called me. And he said, "Dad, I've been thinking about you." I said, "That's nice." He said, "Why are you driving the automobile you're driving when for an extra $50 a week, you could be driving a fabulous automobile?" Was all right for him to say. I almost felt like saying, "You pay for it." Up until that moment, I was extremely happy with the automobile I was driving. Then we started looking around at automobiles. Cut a long story short, we went to a dealership, discovered an automobile there that was supposedly on sale. Demonstrator models, drove it, all that kind of thing. And finally, the salesman said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Well, what's a demonstrator? What constitutes a demonstrator?" He says, "Well, it's no less than 3,000 kilometers on it, no more than 10,000 kilometers, and full warranty." I said, "So you lowered the price?" He said, "No. We lowered the interest rate substantially, and it saves you several hundred dollars a month." Oh. I said to him this. This is what I want. I don't want a demonstrator. I want a brand new automobile at demonstrator rates. And he said this to me. "Do you know what I'd have to do to pull that off?" I said, "No, I don't, but you just told me you can do it." A few days later, I drove out the automobile. And on top of that, this automobile company, whenever you put your car in at the airport, they would take care of it free of charge. For me, that was like massive. All right. About 18 months later, I'm driving past the dealership. I'll go and just see what it takes to upgrade it. So I go in, and now they've got a new finance manager, a lady. And I go and tell her who I am and what I got and all that kind of thing. And she looks up the stuff, and she says to me, "Mr. Fury, where did you get this interest rate from?" I said, "Right here." She said, "Oh, no, you didn't. Not for a new vehicle. We can't do that." I said, "But you did." She said, "We can't do it." And her voice got louder. So I thought, "Well, I'll get louder." I said, "You did." She said, "We did not." I said, "You did so." With that point, the head of the salesman walks in. He says, "Stop." He said, "We gave it to him at that rate." I jumped up and I went, "Yes, this place is called Jehovah Jireh." Come on, hallelujah. Come on, are you hearing me? Said, "God's not interested in that." Yes, he is. God's vitally interested in every aspect of your life. Stop acting religious. Whoa, getting cold in here now. If Abraham had gone to another mountain instead of Mount Moriah, nothing would have happened. Being in the right place at the right time is our place of provision. It is there that God will meet our need. We're always in the right place at the right time. And as I said earlier, we do not show up anywhere accidentally in God. Our footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Good times and seemingly bad times. Exciting places and tough places. wonderful situations and difficult situations. These are growing places. God does not do all these things, but He certainly uses them. And my observation is this. Sometimes in order for God to take us to a new level in our destiny, He allows some things to happen to develop our character so we can be trusted at that new dimension. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 in the King James Version. God has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Hebrews 13 verse 5. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Mount Moriah. A place where mercy triumphs over justice. Solomon built a temple there. The Lord appeared to his father David there. Mount Moriah is a place of worship. Abraham's descendants recognized Mount Moriah as a place of provision. There's an Israeli proverb today that goes like this. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. See, it's all about the timing of God, not good luck or good fortune. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Don't quit. Don't give up. God is at work whether you can see it or not. In Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11, paraphrasing, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor to the riches, but time and chance happen to them all. The word chance there in the Hebrew means today there's opportunity. Listen to me. You believe in God tonight for a miracle. God's already working at it. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, God's already working at it. So, well, I wish you'd hurry up. I've been there too. Hey, when I get to heaven, which will be a while yet, one of the things I'm going to ask God is this. Why do you leave everything to the very last second? That's tough, man. Here's the question. How do I get into the right place at the right time? Here's the answer. Only God can put you there. It's not by anything we do or don't do, for if it was, that would be legalism. See, we're living in relationship. Everything I do for God is not because I have to, but because I love Him so much I want to. Come on, hallelujah. I don't go to church because I have to. I go to church because I love God so much and the saints of God. I want to be there. Come on, hallelujah. When Kathy and I weren't preaching one weekend in Peru, and sometimes I preach 11 times a week, I went to the first morning service. There's four of them. I went to all four with Kathy, and the pastor said, how come you come to all four? I said, we love the house of God. We just be like being around family. Come on. We like being around God. Come on, whatever God's doing. We love it. And then we go to two on Sunday night. Come on, hallelujah. I love being where God is. It's all about relationship. I'm too tired. Get a life. Here's the answer to the question. It's really deep. You ready? Just carry on as normal. Told you it was deep. Well, I got to do this. No. Just carry on as normal. Come on, hallelujah. Otherwise, you are trying to manipulate God. to balance the message, we also have to take responsibility for our own decisions. And sometimes we have to fight for what is right. Sometimes you got to fight for your healing. Here's the deal. God opens doors and God closes doors. Some of us get upset when God closes doors. Well, it's not fair. My friends went there. They did this, they did that, but that's not you. How come I can't do it? How come I can't go there? Wait a minute. God opens doors and closes doors. Do you know why God closes doors? Because he knows what's on the other side and he doesn't want you there. Simple as that. Are you with me? Before we moved to Lima, Peru, we used to visit there every year and do crusades and all that kind of thing. And one day, Pastor Robert Barriger said to me, I want to meet you tomorrow morning at my office. Well, his office is Starbucks. So it was just a 3 or 4 minute walk from the hotel. So I walk down there and meet him. We get there and we discover that the door to get into Starbucks is locked with padlocks and chains across it. And he looks at me and says, what are we going to do? I said, well, the way I see it, we got two choices here. The first choice is we go get an axe, a hatchet, and we hack it down and go in, make our coffee and leave. Or the second one is we just go to another place. I'm trying to tell you something. Come on, are you hearing me? See, Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Luke 19, 1 to 10. Zacchaeus is up a tree. Jesus comes by, looks up and says, hey, Zac, I'm coming to your house today. That tree was called Jehovah Jireh. Come on. No, it wasn't a church. No, I know. It doesn't have to be a church. Are you hearing me? He was in the right place at the right time, and it became Jehovah Jireh. 1 Kings 17, 8 to 16, Elijah. He's prophesied over the king and queen. It's all come to pass, and he has to leave the brook Cherith and go to Zarephath. And they said, there's a widow there who will supply for you. When he gets there, he discovers the widows are poor. How can a poor widow supply? So he goes to the one that's the one God sent him to. And she said, and he said, make me a meal. She says, I have enough food to make one meal for me and my son. And then we're going to lay down and die. He said, make it anyway. We'll share it. They made the meal, and the Bible says, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, and they ate for many, many, many days. Where she was picking up sticks, that place became Jehovah Jireh. Come on, hallelujah. David, oh, I love David. 1 Samuel 16, 11 to 13. Forgotten by man, but not by God. Samuel the prophet comes to the house of Jesse, David's father. He says, one of your sons is going to be king. Get your sons out. He looks around. They're all educated in the art of war. They're tall, they're handsome. And after he looks at them all, he says, none of these ones. You must have another son somewhere. He said, oh, yeah, David. David didn't exactly have his father's blessing because some of the old Bible historians tell us that he was probably the illegitimate son. He said, well, go get him. David. Yeah, go get him. Well, he's down minding the sheep. That was Jehovah Jireh. That place. Come on, are you hearing me? If he'd gotten upset and said, well, I'm not going to do this, I'm going somewhere else, it wouldn't have happened. They go bring him up. I love David. He was short, had red hair, and freckles. You can't get on that. You don't know what I'm doing. Because mine's graying now. He said, this is the one. And he becomes king. Ruth. Ruth's husband had died. She renounced the gods and followed Naomi, her Jewish mother-in-law, back to Israel. Both were very poor, and she took a job as a gleaner, which is a back-breaking, dirty job. The King James Version is actually the better version of Ruth chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, Boaz was a man of great wealth. Verse 2 of chapter 2 says, Ruth said, let me go to the fields and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. She was confident in God. May I be a little blunt to you tonight? Stop whining about what's not happening and start believing for favor. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, are you hearing me? You won't get it if you don't believe for it. Verse 3. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, H-A-P. In the English, it's the word happening, was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz. The word happening, hap, or our word happening, in the Hebrew was the word kara, which means a right or correct happening. In other words, she was in the right place at the right time. And it happened that Boaz came along and fell in love with Ruth. There was a God happening and a God connection. And that will always be the thing that happens when you and I are in the right place at the right time. I was flying from Sydney to Los Angeles one time. And the plane is probably 60% or more empty. And I'm sitting in an aisle seat, which is where Kathy and I always get aisle seats. And I'm sitting behind a guy, and all of a sudden, after we've been flying a while, I hear him witnessing to a guy sitting beside. So I'm not listening in, but I can't help but hear it. And he's saying some stuff, and after a while I got excited and I undid the seatbelt, jumped up, leaned over the seat and went, hallelujah, that's right. The guy who's witnessing looks up at me and goes, you're Al Fury. I said, yeah. He said, I've been looking for you for ages. Why? I run the meeting on Broadway, New York, where all the actors come and have church. And I've been wanting you to come and do a miracle meeting there. So, well, let's put it together. Come on. I was in the right place at the right time, and that plane became Jehovah Jireh. Come on, are you hearing me? In Ecclesiastes 9:11, which we read a few minutes ago, it said, time and chance, opportunity happens to them all. I want you to get this. In the Old Testament, God puts his signature to a few phrases and a few words. There are two Hebrew letters that are placed next to each other, and they appear in this scripture after the word happen. They are the Hebrew letters Aleph and Tav. They are the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it means this. God is the first and last word in all of our situations. Come on, hallelujah. God has not rejected you. God has not forgotten you. God has not denied you. God's still working. Hallelujah. He will make everything beautiful in its time by putting us in the right place at the right time, and He has signed His signature leaf and top to assure us, to guarantee to us that He will do it. Come on, hallelujah. God goes to incredible lengths to get us into the right place at the right time. Come on, hallelujah. Well, I didn't plan on coming here tonight. No, but He did. Come on, are you hearing me? I've had people come into our meetings and didn't even believe that God healed the sick. Are you there? Okay, that's all right. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them. I'm sure it helps if you believe, but if you hear the word of God, it's going to get into your spirit. Come on, hallelujah, and something's going to happen. Are you with me? You're in the right place at the right time. Let me say that again. You are in the right place at the right time. Come on. An opportunity will happen. I had a travel agent that I used out of Melbourne for 24 years. And then the guy decided to retire. I said to him, this is not right. There's still me out there. He said, well, I'm going to retire. Then he calls me a couple months later. He says, I've been thinking about it and I may unretire. Then he calls me a week later and he says, I'm retiring. I said, make up your mind. No, he said, I'm retiring. So I thought, where on earth am I going to get a travel agent as good as him? They're few and far between. So good, in fact, when I had trouble with airlines and I would call him, he would call them. And they would actually say to him, we believe what you say because you don't lie. If it was my fault, he'd tell them it was my fault. I had them even refund an airfare once when it was my fault because they trusted His word so much. I said, God, where am I going to get one? So I called a friend of mine in New Zealand who used to live in Australia. I said, you guys used to travel all the time. Who was your travel agent? Oh, he said, man, we had the best travel agent in Australia, and he gave me his name and his number. Okay, I'll call him. So I called the guy. He said, come on down, talk to me. So I went into the mall and Sunshine Coast and talked to him, sat there with him. And you know, I can go on the net and I can try and get airfares. And then when I go to him, he beats me badly. Come on, are you hearing me? He's brilliant. I told Pastor about an airfare he got for us to go to Peru and come back. And I thought he was just doing it one way. No, I'm doing it round trip. And he's just done it again. Awesome. He said, I have to work at it a little bit, but it's okay. That travel agent is Jehovah Jireh. Come on, hallelujah. Tonight, you are here. Not by accident. Now, some friend invited me. Yeah, they might have. But God had you here. Come on, hallelujah. For God to bring a miracle to you tonight. Come on, can you say amen? Amen. Come on, hallelujah. God's a miracle worker. He still does miracles. Let's stand together. If you can. Put your hand on your heart and say this out super loud. You can shout it if you want to. I am in the right place at the right time. And this place is called Jehovah Jireh, which means God will meet my need. So I'm ready for it to happen. Tonight is my night. I was born for this night. Now lift your hands to God and start thanking Him out loud, praising Him. Come on, you may never have done that before, but start praising God out loud. Hallelujah! Praise God! Glory to God! Shout your praises to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.